Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this last Sunday of the church year, also known as Christ the King Sunday, is our Old Testament lesson from the book of Ezekiel chapter 34. Now, the prophet Ezekiel lived, just using rough numbers here, around 600 BC, 600 years before Christ. He lived during the final years of the kingdom of Judah, before it was taken into captivity in Babylon in 586 BC. Now God used Ezekiel to give a message to the final kings of Judah. For instance, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah, some of the kings that served during Ezekiel's time. God addresses the kings as the shepherds of Judah. That was the Lord's intention for the kings of Israel and Judah, that they would be shepherds, taking care of God's flock, following in the footsteps of the greatest king in Israel's history, King David. These kings, according to Ezekiel 34, were not shepherds at all. They focused only on their own needs, not the needs of their people. And Ezekiel 34 opens up with God's condemnation of these so-called shepherds. Ezekiel writes, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally." Ezekiel 34, 1 and 2. These kings have failed to follow in David's footsteps. They wanted to be rulers instead of servants. They wanted to be lords instead of shepherds. God has a message for these kings. Your services are no longer required. Shepherds of Israel, you are fired. God promises that he himself will come down and be the shepherd that Israel needs, the good shepherd. The good shepherd that Israel has always longed for and always needed. The good shepherd that all of us long for and all of us need. And God fulfilled that promise in the person of the good shepherd, the ultimate shepherd, the greatest shepherd of all, Jesus Christ. In this message today, I'll be focusing on the parallels between this text, written by Ezekiel, Psalm 23, written 400 years before Ezekiel, around 1000 BC, and also the words of Jesus himself from John chapter 10, which was written 600 years after Ezekiel. Using these three passages, Ezekiel 34, Psalm 23, and John chapter 10, we can see five qualities of a good king, five qualities of a good shepherd, and how Jesus is the perfect example of all five of those qualities. He is the perfect leader. He is the perfect shepherd king. So five qualities of a good shepherd. First of all, the good shepherd, number one, personally knows his sheep. The perfect king, the good shepherd, knows his people, his flock personally. And Ezekiel 34 demonstrates for us the very heart of God, how much he loves his people, how he takes their suffering to heart. He loves them and he will rescue them. He takes this very personally. Look at how many times he uses a form of the word I, starting in verse 11. "For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out." And then he goes on to say, "I will rescue my sheep. I will seek them out. I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them. I will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind their wounds. I will strengthen the weak. I will rescue my flock. I I. 17 different times, God uses a form of the word I or myself. So God is taking this very personally. He will personally take charge of his flock. Why? Well, Psalm 95 tells us, we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Or, as David puts it so powerfully in Psalm 23, Yahweh roi lo exar. Or in English, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's only four words in Hebrew, but it says so much. It tells us that not only is God a shepherd, not only is he a good shepherd, but most importantly, it tells us that God is your shepherd. He has a personal relationship with you. You are his lamb. You are a dearly loved member of his flock. Don't ever forget that. God is not some impersonal, uncaring creator and ruler of the universe, far removed from our lives, our problems, and our struggles. No, he is the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have no doubt that in the time of Jesus, that Psalm, Psalm 23, was equally well known and well loved, the same as it is today. In fact, I'm pretty confident that the Jews of Jesus' time knew it better than we did. That's why they would have to be absolutely shocked, amazed, stunned when Jesus shared what he shares in John chapter 10. Jesus tells the Jews, you know that good shepherd you read about in Psalm 23 and Ezekiel 34? That's me. I'm here. Or in the words of Jesus, John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Now, the Jews knew exactly what Jesus was claiming. They knew who Psalm 23 and Ezekiel 34 were about. The Lord. Yahweh is my shepherd. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he is saying in no uncertain terms, I am Yahweh in the flesh, and I am here to rescue my sheep. Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. He says, they hear my voice, and I call them by name. Isn't it great to know that Jesus, God in the flesh, knows your name? You are his own. In fact, he called you by name in the waters of baptism. And in baptism, Jesus calls you by name and makes you a member of his flock, his very own family. And you belong to him now and forever. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Number one, the shepherd, the good shepherd, personally knows the sheep. Number two, the good shepherd provides for his sheep. Ezekiel 34, verse 14, I will feed them with good pasture. One of the most important jobs of a shepherd is to find a place where his flock can graze, a place where they can be fed, to lead them to good pasture. Now, that's really hard to do in the lands of Judah. That picture you probably have of green pastures and still waters, that doesn't really exist in Judah. The land of Judah is mostly mountains, rocks, and sand. Now, we're blessed to live in Western Illinois. We are right where two great rivers, the Rock River and the mighty Mississippi River, meet. And all around us, there is beautiful and rich farmland. Some of the best farmland in all of the world is right here in Western Illinois. Now, if a shepherd in Judah suddenly fell asleep and woke up one day and saw the fields, the forests, the rivers that you and I take for granted, he would have thought he had died and gone to heaven. We are so incredibly blessed, but there's nothing like this in Judah. Finding pasture for the sheep in Judah was difficult. It would be impossible for the sheep to find it for themselves. They needed their shepherd to lead them to green pastures and still waters. And that's what good shepherds did. They found food and water for their sheep, even in the middle of the barren wilderness. As Psalm 23 says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And it's what our good shepherd, our shepherd king, does for us. Now, we live in a wilderness as well. When it comes to food and water, when it comes to farmland and pasture land, here where we live, we are blessed beyond belief. But we do live in a barren wilderness. We live in a spiritual wilderness in which there is very little success to sustain our souls. And that's what Jesus promises. They will come in and they will go out and find pasture. John chapter 10, verse 9. Our good shepherd leads us to a place where we can find spiritual food and rest for our souls. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6, 35. Jesus satisfies our greatest needs, and our greatest needs are not our physical needs. Our greatest needs are our spiritual needs. The needs we have, the need we have for love, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's forgiveness. The Lord has led you to church this morning to provide for you and have your spiritual needs met. If you want to know what green pastures and still waters look like in terms of our spiritual life, well, it looks like your church. Your shepherd has led you here, and here your shepherd feeds you. He feeds you with word and sacrament. He feeds you with his very own body and blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And he feeds you with the life-sustaining power of his word, the Bible. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. That's what good shepherds do. Good shepherds personally know their sheep. Number two, they provide for their sheep. Number three, a good shepherd protects his sheep. Sheep, it's important to remember, are not predators. They are prey. I do not know of any animals that are scared of sheep. But lots of animals like to eat sheep, especially wolves and coyotes and jackals. Sheep desperately need protection against the many predators that hunt them. And here's an important fact to remember. Sheep are skittish animals. They cannot lie down if they have any fear whatsoever. They are literally unable to sleep unless they know for certain they are safe, unless they know for certain they are protected. That is why they need a shepherd. One of the jobs of the shepherd is to protect his sheep. Once the sheep know the shepherd is there, that's when they can lie down. Ezekiel 34, verse 15 says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. They can lie down because the good shepherd, the Lord God himself, protects them. Now, your typical shepherd is going to be armed. There are all sorts of predators that will eat their sheep if they don't actively protect them. Today, they'll be armed probably with a shotgun or rifle. In the days of the Bible, they'd be armed with a sling, a rod, and a staff. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep. Sheep are skittish creatures. They are nervous. They are anxious, and they have trouble sleeping. Does that sound familiar? Does that ring any bells? Does that remind you of anyone you know or may have seen in a mirror lately? We have a lot in common with sheep. We too are nervous. We too are anxious. We too have trouble sleeping at night. And for good reason. We have a predator that is after us. A predator far more dangerous than any shark or bear or lion. He is the wolf in sheep's clothing. His name is Satan. And in John chapter 10, this is how Jesus describes him. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's Satan's mission statement. Steal, kill, destroy. That's what he spends all his time doing. And he's coming after you. You have a dangerous predator after you. The most dangerous predator in all the world, in all of history. And you desperately need protection. Praise be to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who stands by our side and is able to protect us from the predator by the power of his almighty world. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because Jesus Christ is with us every step of the way. Because that's what a good shepherd does. The good shepherd personally knows his sheep. He provides for his sheep. He protects his sheep. And number four, he pursues his sheep. You see, sheep not only need to be protected from predators, they also need to be protected from themselves. They often get themselves into trouble. And by often, I mean all the time. They are prone to wander looking for better grass. And when they wander, they always find trouble. They go looking for grass, but they end up finding thorns, thistles, cockleburs, mud, mire, ponds that they can drown in, pits they fall into, and crevices they cannot climb out of. The shepherd constantly watches his sheep and is constantly rescuing sheep that have wandered off, bringing back the lost, bringing back the strays, binding up the injured. This is what a good shepherd does, and this is what God promises to do in Ezekiel 34. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. Or as Psalm 23 puts it, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, we too, like sheep, love to wander. We go in search of greener pastures. What's that saying we have? The grass is always greener on the other side. But instead of joy and happiness, what we end up finding is trouble. We go looking for happiness, but what we end up is finding sin, envy, anger, jealousy, hatred, pain, and suffering. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and we end up getting ourselves lost. Thanks be to God, we have a shepherd who pursues us, who seeks us out, and who chases after us. I have a dog named Bailey. He's a Cocker Spaniel. He's a great dog. He's a great member of the family. We love him a lot. But before Bailey, we had a beagle named Romeo. Now, we adopted Romeo in the middle of winter, and we adopted him from a shelter. Now, I wasn't used to having a dog at that time. And one morning when we first had him, I opened the back door for some reason, and he saw his opportunity and ran out. Now, it was winter. And I had only sweats on and a t-shirt and no shoes. I opened the door. Romeo saw his chance. He ran out my door and took off down the street, heading towards a busy intersection. Now, at that moment, I was not thinking, wow, that's dangerous. That dog should probably come back. And you know what? I didn't think through a whole bunch of logical options on how I could get my dog back. You know what I did? I ran. I ran after him. I pursued him. I wanted my dog back, and I wanted him back now before something truly bad could happen. So there I was running down the street, right in the middle of winter, no coat, no gloves, no shoes, running in my bare feet. I looked like a maniac. And you know what? I didn't care. I only wanted my dog back before something really bad could happen. After chasing him a block, he, being a beagle, stopped to sniff some really interesting smells in the neighbor's yard, and I was able to catch up to him. I scooped him up in my arms and carried him through the snow back to the house. And when we got back, do you know what I did? Well, I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't yell at him. I did not give him a 3-point sermon on why dogs should not run away. You know what I did? I rejoiced. I was so happy. My dog was lost and now he's found. He could have been dead, but he's alive and he's home. And that's all that mattered. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." Luke 15, verse 6. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. And I will bind up the injured. Ezekiel 34, verse 16. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep, came into this world to save sinners. Sinners like you and me. Sinners who have wandered away from the good shepherd. And he saved us and pursued us and brought us home. At the cost of his very own life. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We have each turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus loves you so much that he pursues you, he chases you, he seeks you out, even though it cost him his very life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11. Jesus gave up his life on the cross for you so that he might bring you home. And that brings us to our final point. What does a good shepherd do? Well, he prepares a home for his sheep. Ezekiel 34, 22. "I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be prey." The good shepherd rescues his flock so that he might bring you home, so that you might live with him forever in the place he has prepared for you, the house of the Lord. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus, our good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep, victoriously rose from the dead so that he might open up to us the way of everlasting life. He told his disciples, and he tells us, "In my Father's house are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am." Today we rejoice. We rejoice because we have a good shepherd, the perfect shepherd king. He is the good shepherd who, number one, personally knows us. Number two, provides for us. Number three, protects us. Number four, pursues us. And number five, prepares a place for us, a place called heaven. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.